You're listening to Writing Snippets, the podcast about writing. Your hosts for today are...
Lauren.
Ava.
Mark.
Lily.
Jocelyn.
Episode 15.
Making a living with a writing career is a dream we would all love to realize, but being able to buy groceries and pay the rent has a tendency to burst that bubble. So how can authors keep the bills paid and still feed the word processor addiction? Today we're talking about writing around a day job. And with us is fantasy author Mark Forman, and our other resident current expert in this is Lauren, who also has a day job, so we're going to be focusing on their comments tonight. So, Mark and Lauren, how do you make time to write when you also have a day job?
You want to go first?
I write on my breaks, and I write during lunch.
So you forego socialization at work in favor of writing.
Socialization has never been a big deal. I hide back in my corner.
I'm not going to ask where you work. No, when I did it, when I was trying to write when I worked, I always had to set a time outside of work aside to just write. And it's not always easy. And sometimes I had the problem. I don't know if you guys have this problem, but I'd start writing in the evening, and then if the story was really going well, I'd forget to go to bed, and then work wasn't real happy with me the next morning when I showed up late. But you have to set a balance, but you also have to specifically say, this is the time I'm going to write, whether, you know, whenever that happens to be, even if it's 30 minutes a day.
So what sorts of different schedules have you guys experimented with before you found what worked for you?
At one time I tried just writing on weekends, and then tended to write all weekend and forget things and not get things that were supposed to be done on the weekend done, and that didn't work. I think what worked best for me was setting just aside an hour or a half an hour every night after work, and then weekends were kind of, you know, whatever I can fit in or feel like doing.
Yeah. How about you, Lauren?
It's about the same. I say that I write during my breaks and I write during my lunches, but it doesn't always work that way. I'll be doing things at home, whatever that may be, and then it comes around to 10 o'clock and I have half an hour to write. And unlike Mark, I tend to make myself go to bed because otherwise I am a total disaster in the morning because I still make myself get up to go to work.
See, I don't. It's like, yeah, I can be late. They won't care.
But doesn't that change during NaNoWriMo?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, NaNoWriMo.
NaNoWriMo.
You just don't sleep, right?
I write during my breaks. I write during lunch. I make sure that I take my breaks, which is unusual. I make sure that I take my lunch. I write at least usually 2 hours at night, and then I will write every spare minute when I'm at home. So I usually get the 2,000 words a day.
Wow.
Wow. That's impressive. So, you know, the other thing you can do if you don't have a set time is just always have a notebook handy and write whatever you can when it comes to you. I have a great idea. Jot down a half a paragraph or something.
I do that when I'm driving my kids around, like chauffeur. I'll have a notebook, and then I can hurry and just write a sentence or a keyword that'll spark what I was thinking later.
Oh, but only while you're parked.
Yeah, not while you're driving.
An entirely new definition of texting while driving.
You're going to be late, kids. Yeah. I got to pull over.
And I've met some people who carry around micro cassette recorders and things to do the same thing. They do verbal notes.
I tried that, but I never went back and listened to
them. Yeah.
Yeah, I have the micro recorder, and I don't like the sound of my own voice recorded, so it's like, I don't care what I put on there.
So I guess you won't be listening to this episode.
Actually, I will, but that's just because I'm addicted to your website now.
Well, great. Thanks. Okay, so when you were working full-time, and you are still working full-time, Lauren, at what point did you decide that you needed to make writing a priority? What compelled you to make writing a priority, even when you were so busy with other things in life?
Oh, for me, actually, I'd been unemployed when I started writing, because I foolishly thought I could write a book and not have to get a job again. Didn't work out that way. But when I started working again, it's like, I need to finish the writing, what I was doing, and I need to move it forward. So now it's, you know, okay, instead of TV tonight, I'm going to write. Or instead of, you know, video games, it's time to write.
That's my favorite video game.
Yeah, I'm addicted.
I'm addicted too.
And I've always, writing has always been a priority for me. Actually, it was this writing group that focused it and said, okay, writing 1,000 words or 1,500 words on one story and then putting it aside for something else is probably not going to get you published.
It would be tough. I've got a lot of those somethings in filing cabinets and
notebooks. Unless you learn to write short stories, but then you won't make a living. So
don't write short stories.
They grow. It's going to be short.
Two of them. Two of them grew.
Two
of them grew. Ava can tell you that two of them have grown up. Two of my short stories have grown up.
Are they still short stories?
But two short stories is not enough.
No.
Yeah.
You will never make a living on two short stories.
It's like two short stories. I don't think they'll make a living on 20 a year or even 40 a year. Nice. I've met short story writers that could testify to that. So, what can family and friends do to help support and encourage the working writers in their lives and have sympathy for them and empathy for them?
Empathy is always a good thing. We love company. That's miserable people. Just being available if I need something, helping out where they can, and being supportive is the
biggest
thing.
Cooking meals, doing laundry.
You know, make sure you get at least one good meal a week. You know, hey, you forgot to go shopping, I brought you something to eat. That's always a plus.
But another thing is that if you know that a particular time is this person's writing time, try to allow yourself to focus on that as well.
Give them their space.
Because if I go home and I sit down at my computer and all of a sudden I have...
The phone rings and the muse is on the phone.
The phone rings and the muse is on the phone. Or a friend is on the phone. Or somebody needs something. My writing time goes right out the window.
Yeah.
And you never get it back.
Never get it back.
Nope, we're done.
So do you just not answer the phone?
My phone's turned off. It's been turned off for like a year. And my parents and family complain that either it's turned off or there's no room on the voice messages. And I said, that's okay. I don't listen to them anyway. So.
Yeah. So that's something else they can do. They can understand that phone isn't a priority for you.
They need to understand that, you know, when I'm writing, I'm in a whole different world.
Yeah.
And if you're going to come and interrupt me, I'm going to be angry.
There's been times when I wish that I could send all of my family and neighbors and friends just a list of times when I will not answer the phone so that they understand it's not that I never answer the phone. It's just that I have my priorities and
they're not them.
It's lower than and these 20 things.
In this time frame, you're not a priority.
Yeah.
My problem isn't the phone. My problem is the kids.
I wish the kids could take
it on the priority. Yeah. Kids are a little harder to train.
You're in the process of training them until they leave home. And
then they might move back in later.
That's
so.
So true.
So you never know.
Now, another question. What can working writers do to convince their friends and families and colleagues that they're not completely insane for doing this?
Well, I'm afraid that most writers are insane. I think it helps the writing, actually. But, no, I don't know. It's hard to make people understand why you have to write or why this is so important to you because they don't have that same need. But it's kind of like other people who have whatever their
obsession
or need is, you know, some people it's video games, some people it's like, I have to watch this TV program or I'm going
to
die.
Or they have to watch all of the, you know, college basketball or they freak out.
It's kind of the same kind of thing. It's like, this is what I do. I'm sorry if that offends you, but deal with it.
I'm sorry if what I like to do gets me money eventually. Or
hopefully we can get some money out of it.
Everybody needs something that they can do just for themselves. It's physical need. You have to have something or your life just goes
crazy. Or you really will be insane.
Yes, you really will be insane.
Yes, but just because you have to have something doesn't mean other people will appreciate that for you.
Well, that's been one thing for me is convincing other people that I need me time. I need something for me.
And try to do it in a nice way.
I can do.
Yeah.
And the way I usually do that is by contrasting it with what they do for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing.
So have you told your employer that you're a writer? And
yeah, they know.
They know.
Yeah. Are they happy for you? Are they looking for a clinical psychologist?
No, I don't think they've gone quite that far yet.
Well, one day.
I have a habit, but my managers keep quitting.
Well, that's okay.
And then you have to re-educate
them. You have to re-educate them and retrain them. Yeah.
I've been there. I know how that goes.
But most of my coworkers have figured out that I don't go anywhere on my lunch. I'm not going to go to Olive Garden with them. I'm not going to go for walks with them.
But you are going to write.
I am going to write.
See, and I think a lot of our listeners won't even tell anyone that they write.
That's pretty common. People look at you different.
They do.
Like, I'm a writer. It's like, really? Okay. You're strange.
I'm an aspiring writer.
Aren't we all?
No, you are a writer. Yes. You're not aspiring.
No, I'm still...
You are an aspiring published writer.
I am definitely aspiring. I am definitely working on it.
Well, yeah, it takes time.
You gotta keep going.
And the thing I always hate is when I talk to more distant relatives, cousins and such, and they're like, oh, you wrote a book? So when's it coming out? And then I feel like I have to give them the 2-hour lecture on the publishing industry, so...
And they don't understand even when you do.
Yeah.
Why are you self-published?
No!
That's okay. I carry my 3 poems that I've published and my motorcycle articles in my back pocket, so if anyone needs proof... I'm kidding.
There you go.
I really don't do that.
Motorcycle article, I'm happy. Yeah. Poetry thing, you know, I tried that for a while, and then I figured out poets only make money after they're dead.
That's what I figured out, too.
So I was like, okay, we'll give that up.
I've got, you know, some saved away for my kids when I pass on, and no, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I got several notebooks of poems that won't ever do anything until after I'm dead.
That's true. So I start putting poetry in my novels, and I'm good.
Hey, there's a thought.
Yeah, works for fantasy.
Or a novel about a poet.
There's your mother.
Mm-hmm. That would be frightening.
Thinking how to kill him off is the fun.
J.R.R. Tolkien did.
Yeah, you can always kill him. It's your novel. You can kill him off later.
It's rather like someone that I talked to who was doing NaNoWriMo, and every time he couldn't figure out the next plot line, something blew up.
Well, that gets a bit boring. That's... I mean... At least you could throw in a shark attack, or you know, maybe yetis coming out of the mountains. Wearing chaps for some reason. Strange yetis.
Okay.
You can't just blow things up every time.
Yes, you can.
Coming back to writing around a day job.
We've wandered.
This is a question especially for you, Mark, and I'm not sure how your experiences are on this, but when you were getting your first book published... Were you working at the time that you were supposed to be out trying to promote that book, and how did you manage that?
Yeah, I was working full-time. It was a little difficult. I had some vacation days that I could take off. The company was pretty understanding about, okay, he's going to be gone half a day, or mm-hmm. he's going to be, you know, because they knew what was going on. But it was kind of tough sometimes to go, oh, I need to go, you know, talk to a bunch of kids and try and convince them to read.
Yeah.
But it worked out pretty well. It's just, you just have to make time. And the hardest part about it is, you know, you have to do it because you need to promote yourself, especially as a first-time writer. You need to get your name out there so people have some idea mm-hmm. who you are and what you're doing.
Lisa Mangum said that she made a goal to do one thing a week. Do you have something like that, a scheduler routine?
I don't have a scheduler routine, but I do like the idea of doing at least one thing a week specifically for marketing, for lack of a better word, but marketing purposes, to let people know, hey, this is out there, mm-hmm. please read it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Aside from sitting at Barnes & Noble's at an empty table with no one
there. Yeah, that's a really depressing thing. That doesn't work.
So what does work?
Actually, what's worked best for me is I like school assemblies. Was it last week? I was at the, up in Cache Valley, they had the Young Artists and Writers Fest, and I was asked to present there.
Oh, that's cool.
Which was a lot of fun, and I hope nobody got mad at me for picking on them. but yeah, public appearances, if you're going to have a book signing, you need to have some publicity out there to let people know that the book signing is going to happen, so that people will show up. And I was reading somewhere, I think it was in Writer's Digest, that if you don't have that, invite all your friends and tell them to bring everybody they know so it looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they buy books or not, just have them in the store. It makes the stores happy, and they're welcome you back next time.
Good tip.
Yeah.
And to make some friends.
Okay.
make friends and use them.
Well, as we're wrapping this discussion up, do the two of you have any final bits of advice or encouragement for people that are trying to write publishable material around their day jobs?
My advice would be to write something every day, even if you know it's never going to make it into your novel or your story. Background story, ideas, thoughts of things that you need to know that the public's never going to read. Just get something down every day, even if it's 10 minutes worth.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Lauren?
Make sure that it's a focus.
Yeah.
Make sure that you give yourself that time.
The focus is the important thing there, though. This is what I'm working on today, not, well, I'll sit down and scribble some words that...
Write some more poetry.
Don't really have anything to do with anything I'm working on, but I'm just going to sit here and scribble for a while. It's like, you might as well watch TV at that point. You need to be focused on, this is the story I'm working on, or this is the short story I'm working on, this is what I'm going to write about. Whether it's something that will make it in or not, doesn't matter, as long as you're working on a specific thing.
So, Mark, before we wrap this up, do you want to tell us the names of your books?
Okay, the series title is Adventurers Wanted. The first book was called Slathbog's Gold, and the second book is called The Horn of Moran.
Yes, go and buy both of the books. They're really a fun fantasy read. I would like to actually live in them for a day and go on a fun adventure.
Thank you so much for talking to us about how to write around a day job. Take the bills paid. Okay. Stop. If you post a comment on this interview, you will enter the drawing to win a signed copy of Slathbog's Gold, which is the first book in the series. So this has been Writing Snippets.
Thank you. Good night.
Okay.
No words were harmed in the making of this podcast. Go to www.writingsnippets.com for more podcasts.